may be a rube from Knuckle Drag, Oklahoma, but he's armed with his tequila and the truth to give the red ass to any ditto monkey out there. It's Bart Cop Radio.
The Dallas Morning Horror is one of my favorite targets. You know, all the big newspapers are a bunch of lying whores, but they seem to have taken the lead, in my mind, because of one incident back during impeachment. I remember it clear as a bell. It's in the back pages somewhere. But someone asked the Dallas Morning Horror, why did you run that fake story about a Secret Service agent walking in on Clinton while he was being blown by Monica? And I swear to God, the Dallas Morning Horror's answer to that question was, well, we didn't know if it was true or not, so we decided to go with it. Now, can you believe that? Danny thought he saw a woodchuck, so the Dallas Morning News jerked the train to a stop. Can you believe that? The Dallas Morning Horror. They are just emblematic, if that's the right word, of the shit we see in the media. Nobody wants to get it right. They just want to get it first. They just want to sell more papers. Please, God, let us sell more papers than the other guy. Please, God, that's all we want. We'll give you our dignity. We'll give you our genitalia. We'll give you our honor. We'll give you everything. Just please let the numbers go up. Please, God, please. We want to win so bad. Well, in the case of the Dallas Morning Horror, they decided to just inflate their numbers. Check this out. USA Today, no matter what day it is, you can look it up if you want. Dallas papers sales inflated. One executive has resigned, owner Bellow, that's the B-E-L-O corporation, says. Media company Bellow said Thursday that it overstated its circulation numbers at the Dallas Morning Horror, becoming the latest U.S. newspaper company to disclose inflated circulation. Bellow, which also owns the Providence Journal in Rhode Island and 19 television stations, said the Dallas newspaper would report a greater-than-expected decline in its September circulation figures. It also said that the newspaper's vice president of operations in charge of circulation had resigned. An internal investigation, which is ongoing, which that means it's a hand job, has disclosed practices and procedures that led to an overstatement in circulation, primarily in single-copy sales, the company said in a statement. In June, Hollinger International said circulation at the Chicago Sun-Times had been overstated for years, and Chicago-based Tribune Company said its Long Island New York Newsday in New York, and Spanish-language Hoy newspapers artificially pumped up circulation numbers. The scandals come as U.S. newspapers are emerging from a years-long advertising slump that would be Bush's fault. Ad rates for print media are tied closely to circulation figures. When this thing developed at Tribune and the Chicago Sun-Times, I said I suspected every publisher in America is probably investigating their circulation department, said John Morton, president of media consultant Morton Research. It's conceivable there will be more revelations, and apparently this is the first one. But then you dig a little deeper in the story and listen to this. Including previously disclosed circulation declines, the company expects total circulation to be down 5% for daily editions and 11% in its Sunday editions from a year earlier. Now, first thing that means is that everybody who advertised in a daily or Sunday, let's talk about the Sunday newspapers. They exaggerated their circulation by 11%, which means they robbed their advertisers out of 11% of their money. If someone paid $5,000 for an ad, they were supposed to pay $44.50 because the Dallas Morning Horror lied about what they were getting for their money. It's just like going to the butcher and you say, give me a pound of ground beef, and he gives you 14 ounces. It's exactly the same thing. They just stole money from their advertisers. So how did they fix this? Quote, the company did not name the executive who resigned. You always know they're lying when they refuse to name the executive who resigned. And this brings me back to Roger Ailes and the Vulgar Pig Boy. Do you remember the famous day when Roger Ailes put up a picture of Chelsea Clinton on Rush's television show? First, Rush said, you know, they have a little kitty cat socks at the White House, but did you also know that they had a dog? The White House has a dog. Did you know that? And everybody's going, no, didn't know that. And they said, yeah, they do. And then Roger Ailes put up the picture of Chelsea Clinton. So the crowd there, all the old fat white rich millionaires in Rush's crowd, they could all giggle about how ugly Chelsea Clinton was. This is the level that they fight on at the GOP. This is Rush Limbaugh at his best. This is pure Rush. Let's pick on a 12-year-old girl because that's the kind of fight they can handle. Rush is like Bush. They won't get in a fair fight. You won't see Rush debating Randy Rhodes. You won't see Rush debating James Carville. It's not going to happen. He will only debate people his screeners deem stupid enough to get through. And then he debates them because he's got his finger on the volume control. If the other guy starts to win, Rush has his emergency bailout button. So he always wins in the minds of his little diddle monkeys. But he's lied for years and years about that when they said, Rush, why did you do that to the poor little 12-year-old that no matter what you think of her dad, there's no way that 12-year-old ever did any harm to you. Why? How could you do that? What made you be so cruel? How could you be such a son of a bitch of that low level, Rush? How is it possible? And Rush said, oh, I had nothing to do with it. It was completely out of my control. I had no way. And you know that's a lie because if someone put up a picture of Chelsea and underneath the picture was the caption, the White House dog, then Rush could claim he was absolutely out of the loop. But when Rush starts out the story with, did you know they had a dog at the White House too? Now, where is he going with that story, if not to ridicule Chelsea? Of course he did it intentionally. Of course he was lying. The sons of bitches always lie. They have no truth, so they have to lie. That's all they've got left. And when they said, but Rush, how did that happen? He said, well, an unnamed staffer did that, and he was fired. Well, what's his name, Rush? What's his name? I can't tell you. He was unnamed. We're not allowed for privacy reasons to give up. Bullshit. You did it. You got caught. Afterwards, you thought, yeah, that is pretty fucking low what I did to that poor little girl. So then he started backing off, and instead of saying, hey, I'm an idiot. I had a bad moment. That was completely out of line for me. I'm a better man than that. I should not have done that. I apologize to Chelsea and the Clinton family. That was an awful thing to do. I still to this day can't believe it myself that I did that, but yes, I did, and I feel ashamed, and you can expect better than that from me because I have talent on loan from God. You see, God loaned Rush the talent to screw Chelsea Clinton. That's the relationship Rush has with his God. But the truth is, Rush has no God other than money. And these poor, idiot, religious people that like Rush, because Rush says he's talent on loan from God, and he'll argue the faith-based initiatives, you know, because it puts money in his pocket. But Rush has no God besides money. And if he did, remember my old buddy Papa Times 7? I tormented that poor guy for years because he was one of the few we would fight and we would debate. And I thought, always get the better end of it. I always got in my shots. But he always would come back for more, except when I finally got him that one day, I said, you know, if you, how'd it go? I like Led Zeppelin. I think Jimmy Page is the most exciting guitar player I've ever heard. And if someone took his double-necked red Gibson guitar and beat up somebody with it, I would try to stop that because, and that's even, you know, useless and pointless because a guitar is a piece of wood with some electronics. I mean, that means nothing. But I wouldn't want to see Jimmy Page's guitar used to beat up somebody. Now, translate that the other way. What if I was so personally invested in my personal Savior, Jesus Christ, and here I see Rush using my God to beat up a little 12-year-old girl? I would be so incensed. How could you be religious and look at Rush? Remember, at the same time, right around this time, Rush was doing his tampon jokes, too. Do you think God wants Rush to use his talent that God loaned him to do tampon jokes? He said he called the Pittsburgh Steelers the Pittsburgh Tampons because they were only good for one period. That's the kind of humor that God and Rush combined, the two of them work as a team, to do that kind of gutter humor. And so when I pointed this out to Papa Time 7, that broke the back. I said, Papa, admit it. You like Rush more than you love Jesus Christ. Go ahead and admit that, because it's true. If you fail to condemn Rush for doing these Chelsea jokes and these tampon jokes, and oh, another thing was he did a Monica gagging joke. He said, oh, the Steelers choked like Monica, you know. So he's talking about a penis going so far down a girl's throat that she chokes on it. This is the joke that God and Rush put together, the two of them. And I said, no, I'm asking you, Papa Seven, to condemn that. He refused to do it, and he hasn't talked to me since that day. And it's amazing because, like I said, I gave him years of abuse. We fought back in the old Prodigy days. That's going back to 93, maybe 92, somewhere around there. For almost 10 years, I gave him so much abuse. And he took it all and kept coming back, and I really respected him for that. But the one day that I put him in the box and said, your choices are to condemn Rush for using your God, who you love, to do these shitty little cheap-ass stripper club kind of jokes, You can condemn him for that, or you can stand up for your God. What are you going to do? And he chose to stick up for Rush, which therefore proved that he loved Rush more than his God, and that was a shame with which he could not live, so he broke off all communications. But it just proves the point. They have no truth on their side. We have all the truth on our side. If we ever get in a fair fight with them, we're going to win. You take Diebold out of it, you take Jeb Bush and Katherine Harris out of it, and Al Gore would be the president, we would not have lost the World Trade Centers probably. And something else, last thing, changing subjects here, but I may just put this on a blurb and just stick it on the page and just leave it there, but you have to remember, we would not have any troubles with bin Laden. It's all because of Bush and April Glaspie. This needs to be spoken again and again and again. We need to remind people. The reason there are no more World Trade Centers is because Bush the First fabricated a war. He intentionally goaded Saddam into invading Kuwait. He did that intentionally to make money. Do you know, every barrel of oil that comes out of Kuwait now, the Bush family gets a cut. I don't know exactly the details, but you know, Bush told Saddam, yes, you can have Kuwait. Take it. We don't care. So Saddam said, thank you, Mr. President, and took Kuwait. And then we act like, oh, we can't allow, this can't stand, I think was the words. This will not stand is what Bush said. So he sent all those men over in the desert. A lot of them died. A lot of them came back with messed up genes where their kids have got flippers and stuff. That was just a horrible thing. But Bush put all these troops, these infidels, these pork-eating infidels, on the sacred land in Saudi Arabia that gave birth to bin Laden and his jihad against America. And it can't be said often enough. It would be one thing if Saddam legitimately attacked Kuwait and we tried to get him out of it. But no, we sent him instructions. We sent him the okay. We sent him a permission slip. We gave him a hall pass. Yes, you are allowed to take Kuwait. Take what you want. Go ahead. It's okay with us. It's fine by us. And now we've got this never-ending war entirely because of Bush the First wanting to make some money kicking Saddam's ass. And do you think, looking back, did he only half kick his ass, knowing that someday his boy could finish the job and they would make, think how much more money they're making off this war than the first war. They only made a few, maybe $100 billion is all they made off the first war, but think of the money they're making off this war. Almost $100 million a day. I'll never stop talking about this. 2 million barrels, $45 a barrel. That's $90 million a day that they're stealing out of Iraq, and nobody's got the balls to ask where that money's going. Everybody's too afraid. If they're in a position to steal $100 million a day, who's going to stop them? They're not going to stop themselves. Someone's going to have to stop them. Who's it going to be? But remember, we would never have heard bin Laden's name had Bush not fabricated that first war. We got to remember that, number one. The BFEE, they have more loyalty to it than they do the United States, and now they control the United States, so they've put the United States behind enriching themselves first. And if 3,000 people have to die, fine. If we have to lose 1,000 or 2,000 soldiers in the desert, fine. Anything that makes the Bush family richer is what they're going to do. I'm fucking sick of it. This is a story about a hand job. See what this hand job's name is. Troy Newman, President, Operation Rescue West. Little story I found in Rolling Stone. One man's God squad. He'll pick at your home, send anonymous letters to your neighbors, and try to ruin your life. Troy Newman and his army of believers will stop at nothing in their crusade to deny abortions to women. The letter arrived on a Tuesday in March. Dear Sarah, it read, it is our information that you are currently an employee of Women's Health Care Services, a facility that provides abortions. It went on to suggest that Sarah Fares, an administrative assistant to the clinic in Wichita, Kansas, quit her job and repent her sins. Please know that we are praying for you, the letter concluded. It was signed Troy Newman, President, Operation Rescue West. A week later, hundreds of Fares' neighbors received an anonymous postcard of a mangled fetus. This is abortion, read the big block letters. Your neighbor Sarah Fares participates in killing babies like these. The postcard implored them to call Fares, whose number and address were provided, and voice their opposition to her work at the clinic. Another card soon followed. It referred to Fares as, Miss, I help to kill little babies. It suggested an erratic typeface that recalled a kidnapper's ransom note that neighbors beg her to quit pretty please. Oh, these guys are nice when they say pretty please. The third postcard dispensed entirely with pleasantries. Sarah Ferries is not to be trusted. Tell her to get a life. One Wichita resident, apparently inspired by the postcard, sent Ferries letters beseeching her to quit her job at the clinic. Another neighbor, a federal agent, called her at work to express his concern. Just be careful, ma'am, he said. You never know what kind of nuts these things will draw. Before long, protesters from Operation Rescue showed up at her house. They parked a tractor trailer across the street, plastered with 20-foot-long images of dismembered fetuses. From its speakers came the kind of sweet, tinkling music that lures children from their backyards in pursuit of dreamsicles. One protester, a somber man in a tan windbreaker with a 3-foot crucifix thrust before him, performed an exorcism on Ferry's front lawn, sprinkling holy water on the grass to cast demons from the property. Ferry's, a small-boned woman, that's relevant, with an irreverent sense of humor, joked about the exorcism. Wish he'd held off on that holy water till after we'd put the fertilizer down, she said. But her husband was not amused. Since 1994, there have been 5 assassination attempts on abortion providers in their homes. A few days after the protest, Ferry's husband got out his revolver, loaded it, and taught Sarah how to use it. Smart move. As you know, I am pro-gun in some circumstances, probably most circumstances, but I am not a gun nut. Sure, would like to have a big argument with a liberal someday on guns, but why am I bringing this up? Because it makes a guy wonder, shouldn't this guy actually be picketing the White House? Seems to me, if life is the issue, why is he not protesting Bush's decision made on illogical, ideological, please the invisible cloud being type of logic to refuse to fund stem cell research? As you know, the sainted Ron Reagan just died, arguably from a preventable disease. Now, I don't think if Bush had greenlit stem cell research the day he got in office, they would have cured Reagan. But what about the next one? How do we know in 30 years Newt Gingrich won't be as crazy as Reagan was? And that could have been prevented had Bush not been such an obstinate Bible thumper. Can you not make the argument that there are more people afflicted by disease? Gee, that's a big category. Then there have been abortions. Well, of course you can. Let's say there's been 1 million abortions. I don't know if that's more or less, but let's just pick that number. There's got to be 2 million people suffering from Alzheimer's. There's got to be another 1 million suffering from this and another 1 million suffering from that. Probably 1 million with Parkinson's. Probably 1 million with Lou Gehrig's. Probably 1 million, you know, here and there. Did you see, don't know if I mentioned this before, saw a thing, I think it was on the news, could have been 60 Minutes. They were talking about stem cells. They showed a man with, you know how Lou Gehrig's disease works, it's just a monster, and there's nothing, they have no cure, they have no way to slow it down, they're just powerless and hopeless. But, because America is run by religiously insane monkeys, this fella traveled to Japan, where they don't worry about what the invisible cloud being might think about medical advances. So he went to Japan, and they showed him before, and I didn't catch all this story, but I think before, he was not quite vegetative, but he was unable to speak. They gave him, if I remember, this is nutty, but the way I remember it, they injected some stem cells into his brain or whatever they do, and just days later, this man was speaking. Now, he was speaking funny, but to go from not speaking to speaking funny, seemed like they asked him to count, and he was real damn proud that he was going, 9, 8, 7, you know what I mean? It came out distorted. But he was damn proud that he was able to make sense and actually communicate with somebody. And to me, this was a miracle. In a real sense, not the hokey bullshit sense. They shot this guy with some stem cells. And immediately as in days or weeks, made some progress reversing the Lou Gehrig's disease. But see, we're not making any advancements there. We don't care. We've got to please the invisible cloud being first. Number two, if there's any time left, we'll feed our family. You know, we'll feed the baby if there's time when we get done with this invisible cloud being nonsense. But that's, to me, what this is like. We're ignoring. We've got, in effect, people starving, and we have the food, but we don't let them have it because God doesn't want them to have it. That is a definition of insanity. You can't do that, but this is what America stands for. It is so nutty, I just don't know what I'm going to do. But this guy here in Wichita, he's dedicating his life. It is just so pointless, but they show this article. Let's see, it's the Rolling Stone with the fantastic Lindsay Lohan on the cover. But these people, apparently there's quite a lot of them, they spend their lives just harassing other people. That's their goal in life, is to harass people. And they get giant signs that say abortionist, and they nail them, you know, on the guy's front lawn with a big arrow pointing towards his house, you know, the doctors. And then the people that work in the clinics, they do this and that. And these people are insane. They are the opposite of what Republicans believe in. Republicans, well, they claim they believe in let sleeping dogs lie or whatever, get the government off our back, everybody mind their own business. You know, that's what they claim they stand for. But no, these religious nuts, they are so dangerous. They believe if they can get out a gun or a knife and praise Jesus in his name and murder somebody, then that's the right thing to do. And don't turn this around into thinking, I think somebody should attack the president. That's not what this is about. I'm saying if saving life is the goal, then why aren't they in Washington pressuring Bush to use logic? We've got medical science on our side. God gave, if you believe in this stuff, God gave us the tools to solve the problems. God gave us the ammunition to go after Lou Gehrig's disease and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's, but we don't want to cure that. We want to praise his name instead. This is insane. What's wrong with people? I'll tell you what's wrong with people. They were brought up that way. If you were 20 years old and he introduced you to the invisible cloud being, you say, excuse me, are you nuts? But no, since they drill this in your head when you're 0 years old and 6 months old and 1 year old and 18 months and 2 years and 2.5 years, they drill that in your head. They tell you the stove is hot, and then you put your hand on the stove and you think, holy shit, you were telling me the truth about that. And when you're that same age, they say, Jesus loves you and he's watching you and he's going to take care of you, and don't believe anything that isn't all lined up with Jesus. And the kid thinks, hey, that oven was hot, so they must be telling me the truth. So people grow up stupid. They just grow up illogical. They throw away, you know, you're drowning and a man throws you a rope and you say, uh-uh, that's not a Jesus rope. I got to have a Jesus rope. And so the guy drowns or falls over the cliff, whatever. It kills a semi-logical person like myself to see America reject medical science that will help everybody. The only negative comment you can make is we keep saving everybody. Now we got, you know, if everybody starts living to 130, 140 years old, we got trouble. And hey, that's another bridge we'll cross if we need to get to it. But right now, it just pains me to see our country in this kind of mess to where we don't care. We're letting people die because we have to praise Jesus. That's nutty. I don't like it. Now get out of here.
We are turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We're turning the corner. We've turned the corner. We're turning the corner.
And now for the outrage of the week. I'm usually not in the business of counseling political operatives, especially Bush Cheney ones. But this week, Ginny Wolf, the flack for the Republican Platform Committee, tried to stonewall Robert Novak, whereas he wrote she was, quote, supremely uncommunicative, end quote. Ginny, let me offer some free advice. Margaret, Kate, Mark, and I have all tried that. It doesn't work. He's relentless. Now, I suspect you're a young woman with a bright future. Don't blow it by trying to stiff the Prince of Darkness.
Thanks a lot, Ariel.
Following the convention, a television ad attacked Senator Kerry's war record.
John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam.
His account of what happened and what actually happened are the difference between night and day.
John Kerry has not been honest.
I defended this country as a young man, and I will defend it as president.
You volunteer for Vietnam, you go over there, you get shrapnel in you, you get shot or whatever. He had 3 wounds. I don't know what they were, but they said he still has shrapnel in him. You come home just so the Republicans can call you a dirty liar and a chiseling weasel when it comes to your medals. You know, think of the damage that does to every medal holder in the history of America. The Swift Boat liars want you to think that they just hand these medals out. What, are you connected? What, if you give them $1,000, you get a medal? That they just give these medals? Purple Hearts are cheap. That's what the Republicans are telling us. This is what President Bush stands for. Purple Hearts are cheap. The Medal of Honor is the thing they just give out like toys, like a milkshake. That's what they want us to believe. Every war hero that comes home with a chest full of medals, we should suspect, probably didn't earn them. That's what the Republicans want us to buy. President Bush, you're doing such a great job unifying America, you son of a bitch.
Senator Kerry then went on the offensive on how President Bush reacted to the 9/11 attacks.
Had I been reading to children and had my top aide whispered in my ear, America is under attack, I would have told those kids very politely and nicely that the President of the United States had something that he needed to attend to, and I would have attended to it.
And I'm not sure it's going on the offensive to answer a question when asked. They asked Kerry, what would you do in that situation? And basically he said, I damn sure wouldn't sit there and read the stupid goat story for another 9 minutes. How is that taking the offensive? Isn't the commander-in-chief supposed to take action when we're under attack? Why should he sit there like a bump on a log? It's his job to get the hell to work. It's his job to get the Joint Chiefs on the phone and get the Defense Department ready and get the planes in the air. But no, he's set to reading the goat story. And you know, if the Democrats had any brains, and should I finish that sentence, well, let's get every Republican on record. Yes or no, did President Bush do the right thing by freezing in Florida that day and sticking with those little goat kids? We should just make every one of them get on the record. Yes or no, did he do the right thing? And we'll string them up there like tobacco executives, and we'll play them one after another. Hi, my name is Orrin Hatch, and I think the president did the right thing by freezing on 9/11 and staring into the camera like a deer in the headlights. Hi, I'm Rudy Giuliani, and I think Bush did the right thing, leaving it up to me to defend America while he was too scared to act. Hi, this is Zell Miller, and of course, Bush did the right thing by freezing and not going to his job when the battle alarm sounded. Of course he did. Let's get every one of the sumbitches on the record. Bush did the right thing. Of course he did. It's the job of the chief executive to freeze and to stick with the little kiddies when America's got the worst attack in their history. And don't say he didn't know that at the time. If he'd got off his fat ass and gone to work, he might have found that out. And remember, he keeps with the double explanation. Half the time he says, first thing I saw that, I thought, oh, that's one lousy pilot. And then the other half of the time he says, I knew right away we were under attack. Well, why didn't you get the hell up off your butt and go to your post, Mr. President, Mr. Commander-in-Chief? Why didn't you do your job? You're getting paid double what Clinton got paid. Clinton did a great job. You're doing an absolutely horrible job for double the money. Why is that, Mr. President? Why can't you do the job that you stole your way into?
You're listening to Bart Cop Radio. Because if you're watching Bart Cop Radio, it gets real boring.